You are listening to a free podcast of The Majority Report with Sam Cedar. To support the show and receive nearly an hour extra material daily, become a member today at majority.fm. Resistance is futile.
The Majority Report with Sam Cedar. It's time to look in the mirror, America. Do you like what you see?
I keep referring to Obama as the magic Negro.
Do you like what you see now?
Well, suck on this.
It's just a mirror, America.
Shared sacrifice by everybody.
What could it do to you except reflect your image?
I did nothing wrong at the Minneapolis airport.
The Majority Report.
Far more credible to me than PBS
and Frontline.
The Majority Report with Sam Cedar.
If I get the feeling you've been cheated.
It is Tuesday, February 28th, 2012. My name is Sam Cedar. This is the award-winning Majority Report. We are broadcasting live in the literal, though not metaphorical, shadow of the New York Times building in the fashionable Dollar Lunch District of New York City. Today on the program, sun sets on Murdoch's regime. I don't know. I'm trying to come up with some good tabloid headlines for the Murdoch family in big, big trouble. The Barbies have come home to roost? No. Shrimps? Murdoch's joined shrimp on the Barbie. I don't know. We'll be talking about the Murdoch's hot water in Britain. That should have come up with some tabloid. It didn't even occur to me until I started saying it. Also, get to that New York Police Department spying story. You knew they were spying. You just didn't know where all the money was coming from. New calls for the head of Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, or the DeMarco, to cram down the principal. Talk to RJ Eskow about that last week on the program. And just a brief mention of, apparently there's a primary. Something's happening with the Republicans tonight. They're voting today, I guess, in Arizona and Michigan. Poor Mitt Romney. I just can't believe what a moron this dude is. And it'll be fun to see if he loses the election tonight in Michigan. We will get into that in a moment. But before I get into the Murdoch stuff, we now have scientific proof that the wealthy are more likely to lie, cheat, maybe not steal, but lie and cheat. This according to a new research study by a PhD candidate in psychology at the University of California. They did a couple of studies, according to Bloomberg News, of how the upper class tend to behave in certain circumstances. In one test, a candy test, 129 undergraduates were manipulated to view themselves as either wealthy or poor. Then they were presented with a jar of individually wrapped candy. Now, I want to just say at this point, it's actually not wrong to take candy from babies, because babies should not be eating candy. They don't have teeth a lot of times. Small pieces of candy they can choke on. That's actually a good altruistic, if not also self-benefiting, I guess, initiative. So they were presented with a jar of individually wrapped candy, which researchers said would go to children in a nearby lab, though they could take some if they wanted. And the children would just get less. The undergraduates believing themselves to be upper income took more than those believing themselves to be low income, the study found. And it wasn't just a candy experiment. Now, they used to say the upper class, as defined by the study, were more likely to break the law while driving, more likely to take candy from children. They were more likely to lie in negotiations, cheat to raise their odds to winning a prize, and endorse unethical behavior at work. The researchers say it's important to teach people ethics. It's not that the rich are innately bad, but as you rise in the ranks, I guess, of income, whether as a person or a non-human primate, you become more self-focused. So the wealthy should feel comforted that they share these attributes with their ape cousins as well. Now, previous research has shown that students in economic classes are more likely to describe greed as a good thing. And so there is a sense that this is not only self-selective in some respects, but also the wealthier you become, the more insulated and essentially inward-looking you become. One experiment invited 195 adults recruited using Craigslist to play a game in which a computer rolled dice for a chance to win a $50 gift certificate. The numbers each participant rolled were the same, so the game was rigged. But anyone self-reporting a total higher than 12 was lying about their score. Those in the wealthier groups were found to be more likely to lie about their score. The theory that one of the theories that this researcher has is that those in who are less wealthy tend to cheat less because they're more reliant on their community to get by and therefore feel more constrained by community norms. Does that sound familiar to you? Is there any reason? Is there any question as to why Mitt Romney is doing better among voters who earn more than $200,000 a year now? And this dude is like talking about people wearing ponchos going, nice jacket. There were traffic tests, and about one-third of drivers in higher status cars cut off other drivers at an intersection watched by the research, about double those in less costly cars. And additionally, almost half of the more expensive cars didn't yield to pedestrians who entered the crosswalk. Oh, wait a second. Hello?
Hello, Sam.
Yeah, hello.
Hello, it's me, Rupee. How's it going, mate?
Rupee? Rupert Murdoch?
Hey, Rupert Murdoch.
Oh, wow. I'm sort of impressed that you called. I was literally just about to talk about the hot water you're in.
I want to say unequivocally, I had nothing to do with any bribes, voicemail hacking, or murder.
I'm sorry, wait a second. You have nothing to do with any bribes, voicemail hacking? Did you say murder?
What?
Did you say you had nothing to do with any murder?
No. I said movies. I had nothing to do with the movies.
Nothing to do with the movies? I don't understand.
No, we won no Oscars for our movies this year. None.
No, I know that. Yeah, but I don't. But okay. So right. So you didn't win any Oscars. But no, the story is that you You're in big trouble. There's an investigation in Britain, I'm sure you're aware, that has shown that it's
I've heard about it.
you actually testified in front of one of the committees. I'm not sure if you're aware of that.
I did?
Yeah.
I don't remember. Sam, I don't remember it.
Well, let me try and refresh your memory. You testified in front of a parliamentary committee, and you claimed that this bribery, you didn't know anything about the hacking of voicemails, that any bribery took place was just sort of like petty. But now it seems that not only were employees of the News of the World implicated in this, now it seems that there were literally multiple employees at The Sun, which I believe you own. And that wasn't just like, you know, buying a cop a pint of beer, but it was literally a culture of corruption where your entities paid off cops, military personnel, other government officials.
Mm-hmm. Sam, let me just say that this is one of the most humble days of my life.
Well,
right now.
Actually, no, I think you... This is probably the second most humble day.
All right, fine. Second most humble day of my life, fine. But I also want to say one other thing.
All right.
But what you, all the stuff you just said.
Yeah?
James did it.
James
Murdoch, my son, he did it, the little bastard. And I'll tell you something else.
Yeah.
I knew nothing about it. Well, secondly, it is a humble day for me. But James did it. That's what I really want to say.
Okay. You're saying that James did. Now, you understand that what you're accusing James of doing probably violated the Foreign Corruptions Act, U.S. law, saying that if there is a pattern of bribery, if there's significant bribery that is done by a U.S. company, which News Corp is, this could – I mean, this is stuff – we're talking fines. We could be talking jail here.
Yeah. You lost me. What was the part you wanted me to comment on?
Well, you just said your son did it. I mean,
he did. He did. Everything you're talking about, he did. He should go to jail, not me. I mean, I'm an old man.
Wait a second. I don't think the fact that you're an old man has any bearing on whether or not you should go to jail if you did it. I mean.
Well, sure it does, Sam. Sure. Look, if I go to prison, I'm an old prune. No one's going to like me, but James is young. He's in shape. He's attractive. He'd probably find someone to live his life with there.
Wait, what are you suggesting, that your son should go to prison because he's young and attractive?
How's it going?
How's it going? What do you mean, how's it going?
That's what I say when I don't want to talk about something. How's it going?
Well, you know, I'll tell you, you know what else? I mean, you must be very rattled, because I got to tell you, you're starting to sound like Scottish again.
Well, I'm sorry about that.
I'm just saying, you're talking about your son here, your accent's all over the place, and you must be really rattled. How's it going?
I'm not rattled, Sam.
How's it going? What do you mean, how's it going? It seems to be going.
How's it going? That's what I'm asking. How's it going?
Personally, it's going fine.
Fine, whatever. I love the movies. Did you see the movies?
What do you mean,
have
did
you
I
seen
see
any
the
Fox
movies?
News Corp movies? Have you seen any News Corp movies lately?
I don't know. I doubt it. I mean, the movies is got. We're not even talking about the movies.
Right. How's it going then?
It's going good. Isn't how is it going? That's what you would. Isn't that what you asked your editor instead of asking about like $1 million payout to what's going? Oh, what's doing? So now you've switched to how's it going?
What's doing? What's going on? Why the semantics?
You brought it up. You're the one who asked how's it going.
It's, again, I want to say the most humble day of my life right now.
I think you said it was the second most humble day.
Second most humble day. Fine. How's it going?
It's going good, but I got to tell you, Rupee, I don't think you're doing so well.
I'm fine. I'm just an old man, which is why James should go to prison. Everyone should just forget this. We should just move on, look forward.
Yeah.
and also buy the Sunday version of
Oh yeah! Congratulations on launching.
Well, thank you very much.
The new.
I brainstormed that one on the plane on the way over to London.
Yeah, I know. I bet you've just released. You've just published a Sunday version of the Sun, and it seems like all your reporters are quitting or are about to go to jail.
Yeah. Uh huh. Did you see the copy? Did you see the Sunday? Did you get a copy of the Sunday paper?
No, I live in New York. Why would I read it?
I don't know. It was really good.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. I appreciate your calling in. That was
yeah, no problem, Sam. I love the show. I love the show.
Oh well,
I love the show.
I'm glad. Maybe you should be able to download it. Maybe from prison. I'm just
joking. No. We recorded the whole thing, or someone's recorded the whole thing already. I don't know about me, but probably James.
All right, great. Appreciate the call. Call in anytime.
Absolutely, Samuel. Bye, mate.
Bile beak? What did he say?
Bye, mate.
Oh, bye, mate. Well, there's another rich guy for you. Throws his son under the bus. Wow. Well, let's dig into what is facing Rupert Murdoch. I mean, there was apparently new testimony, or I should say a public testimony by the lead prosecutor, or I should say investigator, Deputy Assistant Commissioner Sue Akers, who is leading the investigation known as the, I think it's the Levinson investigation in Britain. And these allegations are that the Sun, the Daily Sun, owned by Rupert Murdoch and News Corp, systematically paid bribes to, quote, a network of corrupted officials in the British police, in the British military, and in government agencies. Akers said that Murdoch had illegally paid unidentified officials hundreds of thousands of dollars in exchange for news tips, or I should say the Sun, paid hundreds of thousands of dollars in exchange for news tips and, quote, a salacious gossip. Said the payments had been authorized, and this is what is problematic for News Corp, at a very senior level within the newspaper. Now, this is the second newspaper now that has faced these allegations. And she said, Akers speaking, there appears to have been a culture at the Sun of illegal payments, and systems have been created to facilitate such payments whilst hiding the identity of the officials receiving money. This is very important because if there's a cover-up, there's an indication that people were aware that it was going on. This is the Levinson inquiry. Simultaneously, a lawyer for the Levinson inquiry said that Rebecca Brooks, who was the former Murdoch executive in charge of overseeing the News of the World, was apparently informed by police in 2006 that detectives had evidence of the voicemail hacking. This is also contrary to what she has testified as late as 2010. So you now have two newspapers implicated. You have a across the board evidence of cover-ups that it was not rogue employees that were doing this. When you're talking about hundreds of thousands of dollars in payments, this doesn't just happen because one reporter is just like, oh, I must have had too much lunch that day. They don't just come back and use bad British accents to claim that they've overset. In fact, Akers said, the cases we are investigating are not ones involving the odd drink or meal to police officers or other public officials. Instead, these are cases in which arrests have been made involving the delivery of regular, frequent, and sometimes significant sums of money to small numbers of public officials by journalists. Emails show that one Sun journalist received more than $235,000 in cash over several years to pay his sources, a number of whom were public officials. She also said that there were emails showing that reporters and officials at the newspaper were afraid of losing their job or getting in trouble with the law because of this stuff. And then on Monday, apparently, there were other testimony in which a former high-ranking police officer said that News International, this is the owners of News of the World, owned a subsidiary of News Corp, had deliberately obstructed police investigations into the phone hacking. And today, there is the latest revelation from the Levinson inquiry that one of their conduits for information, this is one of the News World's main sources, and you can say source or you can say conduits or sources, conduits for information from serving police officers, potentially in return for legal cash payments. In other words, people that they've been basically bribing for information, was a private investigator named Jonathan Rees. This was a guy who was investigated and tried for the murder of his business partner. This trial apparently collapsed and fell apart because of the Metropolitan Police's department's poor handling of evidence. And this evidence dealt with the revelation of these corrupted police officers. And during this investigation into this murder, News of the World apparently provided surveillance resources to the private investigator and harassed detectives on the case who were chasing after this private investigator. So now what you have is they're not only protecting the guy who was paying off the cops, they're protecting him from a separate murder investigation that he was involved with. So I can understand why Rupert is floating the idea that maybe James should go to prison, at least on this program. Rupee Murdoch is floating this stuff because they're in big trouble, and this is not going to end in Britain. Because this was a culture of corruption, if they are found to be paying off public officials, not just from one entity in an isolated instance, but from two separate entities owned by the company, it is very likely that News Corp is going to be subject to the Foreign Corrupt Practices Act. Guardian UK quotes Mark McDougall, partner from a Washington office of the law firm Aiken, Gump, Strauss, Hauer, and Feld, and a former federal prosecutor. This is obviously a very significant development with regards to the likelihood of a U.S. prosecution. If the British authorities are articulating a pattern, a defined scheme to bribe officials, that's a very big deal. Mike Kohler, professor of business law at Butler University. Last July, when we first started talking about this, there was one newspaper, the News of the World, in one category of foreign official, the police. Now we have another newspaper in a much broader category of foreign officials. The evidence seems to suggest there was a recognition that these payments may have been illegal. This is in reference to the emails that the investigator Akers was talking about. And the notion that there were attempts to disguise the nature of these payments. These elements would fall under the jurisdiction of the Foreign Corrupt Practices Act. Tom Fox, a Houston-based lawyer who specializes in these cases. Speaking of a culture of corruption is really bad, said Fox. No pun intended. There are two main types of SCPA case. In the first, a company has policies in place but fails to detect corruption. The second is far worse And that's when there is a program in place and you ignore it. So if I was at Fox and Friends right now, I'd be wondering who my new boss is going to be. We will stay on top of this story. And by we, I guess, I mean the entire Cedar juggernaut at the Majority Report. We have a lot of different people on the case right now watching Fox News.
We are a global intelligence firm now.
That's right. That's right. Next thing you know, we'll have Anonymous hacking our email accounts on our enterprise quality server. What does that mean? Enterprise quality. Did you know what that means?
It's like.
Is it just like another word of saying business quality?
Yeah, it's like a big business like right. word.
Folks, as you know, today is the Michigan and Arizona primary. There's every reason to believe that Mitt Romney will persevere in Arizona. However, in Michigan, this is a place where he loves the size of the trees. Remember that. And cars. Loves cars. Mitt Romney may very well lose. If he loses by 0.00001%, he's in big trouble. If he loses by more than that, he's in big trouble too. And however, if he wins handily, we'll probably have Rick Santorum to bash around for a while. But I thought today might be a fun day to finally replay some prank phone calls I made to Rick Santorum's offices back in the day. I don't know. When did I make these? You know? Back in 2006, maybe? 2007?
2007. October of 2007.
And these were Rick Santorum. I think he might have been this must have been when he was running for re-election. And it surfaced that in 2002, he had written a piece in, I think it's Catholic, I don't know, it's a Catholic.org. I don't know what the name of the magazine. Talking about why, well, first of all, claiming that essentially the priest pedophilia scandal in the Catholic Church was basically only took place in Boston. And he basically attributed it. Well, let me quote. He said, it's startling that those in the media and academia appear most disturbed by this aberrant behavior, since they have zealously promoted moral relativism by sanctioning private moral matters such as alternative lifestyles. He's basically saying, I can't believe there's anybody in the liberal media who's upset about this pedophilia because they've been promoting this for however much period of time. And he writes, priests, like all of us, are affected by culture. When the culture is sick, every element in it becomes infected. While it's no excuse for this scandal, it's no surprise that Boston, a seat of academic, political, and cultural liberalism in America, lies at the center of the storm. So essentially, Rick Santorum is saying that, you know, people in Boston, loose with their morals, slutty, if you will. So it's no surprise that, of course, Catholic priests would be pedophiles. So this set off a couple alarms for me. As you know, I grew up in Massachusetts, in Worcester, just outside of Boston. And I spent some time in Boston. And I thought maybe Rick Santorum was the go-to guy to get some answers that had been bugging me for years. Let's play the first of these phone calls. I believe this is his Washington office. I'm not 100% sure.
Good afternoon, Senator Santorum's office.
Hi, this is Sam Cedar. I'm the Chastity Reporter for the Majority Report. I wanted to find out, I've read Senator Santorum's statements as reported by the Globe today, and I want to find out if he had any information about how many sluts were in Boston.
I can pass you or patch you through to the press office, and hopefully they'll be able to help you out with a response.
Okay.
I mean, can I give you their number?
Sure. That's not information that you guys have there at the office, though, is it?
The press office's number? I can give you that, yes.
No, I mean the number of sluts that are in Boston.
If you wanted a response regarding an issue that was in a newspaper, I have to pass you off to the press office, sir.
Do you think there'll be any chance that they'll be able to tell me about specific individuals? I spent some time in Boston, and I had a girlfriend. Her name was Mary Casanova, and she, frankly, she cheated on me.
Okay. The number is 202?
Yeah.
224?
Right.
0610.
So do you know if they will have any specific answers on any particular people in particular, or?
If you want a response regarding an article about the senator, you'll have to check with the press office. We're really not allowed to comment on things like that from this office.
Oh,
because we're an official office, and we do, like, official casework or things of that nature, so.
If I wanted...
they'll be able to help you out as best as they can.
If I wanted to report a specific person in Boston being slutty, would this be the office that I would talk to?
You'll have to check with them.
But if I had a specific case of sluttiness, would you guys be handling it?
Sir, you're going to have to call the number.
Okay. Everything's hush-hush about this over there, huh?
You can check with the press office if you'd like.
Loose lips sink ships. You know what I mean?
You have a good day, sir.
Okay, great. Bye-bye.
So I needed to pursue this. And so I called the Washington office next. And here is that call.
Good afternoon, press office.
Is this Senator Santorum's office?
Yes, this is his press office. Can I help you?
Yeah, this is Sam Cedar. I'm the Chastity reporter for the Majority Report, and I'm recording this for potential broadcast. I have read the piece in the Boston Globe, and I was wondering if you guys had any information as to how many sluts are in Boston.
Excuse me?
How many sluts are in Boston, like loose, like sexually loose people?
You want to know if I have any information on that?
Yeah. I mean, I presume that there is some data about how many sluts, like loose, sexy types of people in Boston that you guys might have to back up the claim. I mean, I actually, you know, I lived in Boston for a time, and I ran into a couple of them, frankly. So, but if you had a number, that would be great.
A number of what?
How many sexually loose people are in Boston?
Okay. I don't think that we have any information on that.
Would you have information on any specific sluts? I mean, I dated a girl named Mary Casanova there, and she cheated on me multiple times in a sexual manner. And, I mean, I'm just looking for some data to... I know the piece in the Globe.
Okay, well,
you know what,
unfortunately,
I'm talking about, right?
It looks like we're not going to be able to help you.
Senator Santorum said that Boston had a lot of sluts. I just want to know if you guys had any hard numbers.
Unfortunately, we do not have any information for you.
Is it, I mean, do you know, is it more than, like, 5,000 sluts?
Well, as I just said, we have no information for you. Thank you.
Wait, can I ask you, hello?
So I guess at this point, I don't know where I call. I place one more call because I really, at the time, I really wanted this data. You don't want to go into a, you know, city without knowing how many loose people with loose sexual mores are there. And so at the time also I was the Chastity reporter for the Majority Report. I've since been promoted and to senior Chastity reporter, but here it is.
We're sorry, but we're unable to take your call at this time. But if you leave a name, number, and detailed message, we will return your call as soon as possible.
Hey, Tim, this is Sam Cedar again from the Majority Report. Listen, I called the press office, and I could not get an answer. I am trying to follow up on how many sluts are in Boston. I right now I have about a half dozen on a list. I think I mentioned to you that one was a former girlfriend, if you could call her that. And then there was a couple of guys I knew who were in the same dorm as me who were always going out and messing around. They weren't technically from Boston. I actually think one of the guys was actually from Pennsylvania, which is sort of ironic. But I was wondering if there's any way you could get back to me. I am trying to run with this story, and the people in D.C. could not help me. They said they did not have the data on how many sluts are in Boston. I don't need just sluts. Anybody, I guess, who was really sexy or anything like that would be good. So if you could give me a call back, that would be mucho apreciado'd. That was supposed to be Spanish. Thanks.
Yeah, I was never very good at language. So the Spanish didn't come out so right. But So Rick Santorum hopefully will become the nominee, and we can crack this case wide open. I think he did. He responded to those comments in the Globe saying that Boston is a place where there's loose sexual morals. And, you know, it's tough to argue, at least based on my own personal experience. It was like you couldn't. I went to law school there, and you couldn't walk down the street without, like, getting propositioned. Very loose. Sexy. Meanwhile, last story for the lesser half of the program. In the better half of the program today, we will be talking about the NYPD spy story. We will also be talking about a little-known provision that Dean Baker has highlighted in the payroll tax moratorium bill. A bill which otherwise I'm not terribly excited about, but about Workshare, which is an interesting provision. Also, news of a success story by the Department of Energy in terms of car batteries. That and more in the better half of the program. Oh, also, I think we're going to do a random rush, wherein during the program live, I will listen to 60 seconds of Rush Limbaugh and respond in 90 seconds. Is that how I do it? Or I listen for 90 seconds and I respond in 60. I can't remember.
One of those.
Yeah. Why don't you Google and find out what I do? I can't because I can't remember. Last week on the program, we had Richard Eskow on to talk about Edward DeMarco, who is the regulator who controls Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. Technically, I think he's the director of the Federal Housing and Finance Agency. He was appointed by George Bush. That's right. He was appointed by George Bush, and as Eskow said, that he basically very difficult to remove him. And part of the problem with this guy is that he has refused. As you know, Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac essentially own nearly half the mortgages in this country. And at this point, there are one out of five Americans who owes more on their house than it's worth. They're underwater. Their mortgages are for more money than the value of their homes now, which basically means it's impossible for them to sell the house without paying money. It's impossible for them to refinance their mortgage and get lower interest rates. It decreases their mobility. It also provides a certain amount of economic insecurity, et cetera, et cetera. And there's an opportunity here for Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac to essentially reduce the principal owed on these loans. It's not unheard of. It's been done in the past. And Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac's own, I guess, internal investigative agency, I should say, their own essentially figures, show that principal reduction of Fannie Mae loans would end up saving the taxpayers money. Because when these homes go into foreclosure, taxpayers take a bath. Now, DeMarco argues that instead of debt forgiveness, in other words, reducing the principal, what we should be doing, or I don't know why he hasn't been doing this, but claims that forbearance, in other words, pushing off a certain amount of the payments towards the end of the loan, would save the taxpayers more money. But like I say, his own agency's figures show that's not the case. So California's Attorney General Kamala D. Harris has sent a letter to DeMarco joining Martha Coakley and asking that foreclosures be suspended in her state until they complete, until the agency, the Federal Housing and Finance Agency, completes a promise review of its policy forbidding debt reduction. You know, we spoke to Escow at length about this. This is very much a sort of an ideological stance, almost a corrupted moral stance that DeMarco is taking. And he's basically holding the country hostage at this point. Reducing the principal on these underwater mortgages, and supposedly the financial foreclosure settlement will do this for mortgages held by private banks. It's not going to do it for enough of them, and it's not going to do it in a large enough amount, but it will do some of that. If you were to do this with the half of mortgages that are owned nationwide by Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, it would have a huge positive impact for taxpayers, because it would save them money in the long run in terms of foreclosure. It would have a huge positive impact on the housing market. It would have a huge positive impact on the economy on a whole, because you're putting extra dollars into people's pockets. It is a win-win-win situation, except for the moral scourges who believe that only banks should be allowed to weasel out of their obligations. So more pressure on DeMarco, that's good. Hopefully we'll see more pressure ratcheted up. We got to take a break and head into the better half of the program. You can call me via your telephone at 646-257-3920, 646-257-3920. You can IM me at Majority FM. You can call me on Skype at Majority Live. Three different ways to become part of the program as we head into the better half of the program. In that better half of the program, we will do that story on the New York Police Department spying on Muslims because they're Muslims. And not just in New York City. And who's paying for it? Not just New York. Also, a couple of Occupy Wall Street announcements and stories. And this story about the best measure in the payroll tax law that was passed last week, 2 weeks ago. And a random rush coming up next.